Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin here with Cade Orris, who is once again dressed as Buddy the Elf.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite fucking color?
Cade, how often do you clean that costume?
After every use, so...
Like, does it have to be dry cleaned, or can you just run it through the wash?
Never thought about getting it dry cleaned. I think that'd just be like a weird... interaction to have.
That'd be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. But I just wash it. And no, it does the job.
Okay.
I wore it this past weekend. It's smelling a little musty right now. I actually think I need to just get a new one. No, I think I've worn this one out.
I don't know. I feel like it's in pretty good shape, man. It's held up pretty freaking well, especially if you really are washing it after every use.
Yeah. So I wore it this weekend, and it was just a lot. A lot went down.
What, you had to take a lot of pictures with people?
Yeah, it's like the closest you can feel like of being a celebrity.
Yeah.
A lot of people asking for pictures, just like coming up and talk to you.
Well, you were at the... So this was at the bar this past weekend.
Yes,
so
yes.
No one else is dressed up, I assume.
Well, there actually was. Like, people were wearing Christmas sweaters.
Okay.
And there's a couple Santas. There's one person that was also dressed up as Buddy.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so
did
we
you have to fight to the death? Did you kill a guy?
No, I didn't do any of that, but we did take a picture together. We tried to do the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that turned out blurry as fuck, so I was like, yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, very sad.
Can't put it on the gram.
No, but, yeah, just getting quotes thrown at me left and right from people got pretty annoying pretty fast. So, like, I would always get, by the Elf, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
But they would, like, say it to me. But that's my line to say to someone.
Yeah.
So they just like wait for me to give them an answer. I'm just like, I don't.
What
like,
is your favorite color?
Like you like.
Like really, what is your favorite color?
It's red.
Red. But,
yeah.
Wow. I feel like you don't hear that one much.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a pretty popular one. But like, I'm just like, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I guess green because I'm wearing green. And I'll say like green and red for Christmas. But I'm like, I'm not supposed to say that to you. So I got pretty annoyed hearing that one. So I'd be like, oh, I'm colorblind. I don't see
Damn,
color.
Dude.
Yeah. Then I always get...
You're getting worn out. It's just like when a celebrity like gets really famous for one song or one movie.
Yeah.
And then that's all people want to hear about.
Yeah.
And they're just
throwing
like,
that
they
one
get
quote.
Sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what you're experiencing.
Absolutely. And then would also get Bye Buddy, Hope You Find Your Dad.
I love... That's my favorite.
Yeah. So I would say, thanks, Mr. Narwhal, to whoever said that. And then... I would get like pretty annoyed with that one, so this one's kind of fucked up.
You're just a pissed off Buddy the Elf running around out there.
I'm a South Pole elf.
Fuck.
But like, there was one girl that said to me while I was leaving one of the bars, and I was like, "Yeah, my dad's dead."
Damn, dude.
She was just
you
in
just
shock.
Went out. You went out dressed as Buddy the Elf, and then you dampened the Christmas spirit with your internal frustration and anger. That's what.
Yeah,
you've
Yeah, I
done.
Wasn't really like in the Christmas spirit this.
What
weekend.
Were you drinking? Whiskey?
Oh yeah, so. I always bring a syrup bottle with me. I fill it with whiskey and Coke.
Okay, that's explaining some of this.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And on Friday, I got it taken away from me because, you know, you're not allowed to have outside drinks at the bar. You know, you're supposed to buy the drinks at the bar you go
to. That's how it works.
Yeah, but I don't like to play by those rules when I'm Buddy. So on Friday.
Is this the first time you've had it snatched
yeah,
from you?
I've
syrup
got
syrup bottle?
Mm-hmm. People have noticed it in the past, but they kind of just like let it slide.
They
but
look
this,
the other way.
Yeah, but this guy was a real Grinch about it. And he like saw me with it. He was like, hey, kind of like see that. And he wanted to smell it.
Was this before or after you'd been destroying people's moods with your horrible answers?
This was the on Friday night. It was like beginning of the night too. So
this pissed you off for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. And so like,
what did he do with it? I wonder. What do those bouncers do with the thing?
He just like dumped it out. I asked him if I could still keep the bottle.
Oh.
So I saw. Well, actually, I threw it out on Saturday. But yeah, I did it again Saturday. No problems. It's just drinking syrup all night. It's great.
Disturbing.
Yeah. And I also get, now people just say buddy to me, like, oh, buddy.
Hey, it's buddy.
And then, like, I don't care who it is. Like, if it's a girl, I'm like, oh, like dad? I just, like, say dad to everyone. Like, I'm trying to find my dad.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Because that's what he does in the movie.
Yeah.
Tries to find his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does, and his dad's a real prick.
He is a prick, but he comes around.
He's a real Scrooge at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, fucking Cade, Buddy the Elf. One and the same. Been getting ready for Christmas at my house. I'm a firm believer that you have to wait until after Thanksgiving to decorate for Christmas, as I've said, one holiday at a time. And, and just on that note, you take your Christmas decorations down on New Year's Day at the latest. That is my belief. But I usually do it before New Year's Eve because, like I said, one holiday at a time. And there's a separate box in my attic for New Year's Eve decorations, so Christmas needs to be up before New Year's can come out.
So I thought you hated New Year's. I didn't know you're decorating for it.
I don't like traditional New Year's Eve, like, you know, I feel like it's such a racket. Well, first of all, once you don't drink, New Year's is a completely different experience. But even before I quit drinking, like, I would usually stay home, put on a tux, and get blackout drunk in my home, my apartment, or my house. And then eventually it graduated to, like, I started hosting a New Year's Eve party every year because that was my way of avoiding having to go do, like, the New Year's Eve. I hate the New Year's Eve bars.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that I hate strangers on New Year's Eve because before bars, I hated, like, the pay $115 for the open bar all night at the hotel type thing. I did that a few times. That fucking sucked. And just generally, I don't like going out and get, like, the idea of getting obliterated so that you feel like absolute dog shit the first day of the new year is so counterproductive and idiotic, yet we all do it. And I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I think worst thing about switching it up this year for New Year's, we always just go out to the bars, but we might do like a house party or something. But I don't know anyone that's doing house parties, so
yeah,
we'll have to see. But what New Year's decorations are you putting up? Are you just throwing up like the 2024? Did you get the 2024 glasses already?
It's a good question. I think there's like a top hat in this box and then like some, you know, like sparklers or whatever.
Like some party favors.
Some weird, like just, it's not that much New Year's Eve decorations. It's not a big box. It's nothing like the Christmas. There's like six Christmas boxes that I have to pull out of the attic. But, you know, they exist to some extent. I really don't remember. I'm going to have to look. But yeah, I also insist on getting a real Christmas tree, like a real, real Christmas tree, because I think the fake trees are for fake people. So we took the kids out to the tree farm to pick out a tree. And like before I had kids, I'd say my Christmas tree shopping experience was usually like a 30 to 45 minute deal. Picking out the perfect tree, having some dude show me a bunch of trees. I've talked about this before, but like the Christmas tree places are always run by like the cast of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's like some twisted freak family of weirdos that are just like the most antisocial bunch of nut jobs you've ever met in your life. And I kind of love that part of it. It's always like, are we going to get murdered here? And, but yeah, so...
So what qualities are you looking for in a Christmas tree? Because that seems like a very long process.
Fullness. You want it to be full. You don't want to have a bunch of gaps, you know, in your branches. You want it to be a certain shade of green, because like if it starts to look brown, it's like a banana, you know, then that banana is on its way out. Same thing with the Christmas tree. If you give a limb a shake, you don't want to see too many needles falling off, because that means it's dry. Right, you want this thing to survive if you're getting it pretty early on in December like I do through the whole month. You got to keep this fucker alive in your living room. You got to keep him watered.
Yeah, see, that's why I go with the fake tree, because you don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
Just seems like a lot for a month.
I need the smell, though, man. I need the smell. I don't like it's like part of the, it's a tradition, right? So it's like, it helps me get in the Christmas spirit to go pick out the tree and shit. And then also while I'm out there, I always have to try to remember if I have a, if I have a tree stand at home, or if I threw it out or it broke, and then I buy another tree stand to put in the pile of tree stands that I have. But with kids, I'm in and out in 10 minutes at the Christmas tree place. I'm not looking hard. There's too much chaos. It's not worth it. There's like chainsaws going, cars pulling in and out. The four-year-old is running around like a lunatic. My wife is stressed out to the max. Everybody ends up crying and having a panic attack. So I just spot a good tree as quickly as I can, one I know I can like work with, and we're in and out. And this year, I saw a tree that I was like, oh, that somebody clearly asked them to unwrap it. You know, they're like all bundled up, the trees in a pile. Well, maybe you don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But they are. And then like you say, like, let me see this one. And they unbundle it and they stand it up. And then somebody clearly looked at this one and went, no. And I looked at it and went, I can make that work. It had a big ass gap on one side, like a fucking foot and a half between like branches. And I was like, that's where I'm going to put the heavy ass ornaments, because I'm a pro. I know what I'm doing. I can salvage this tree. If I don't pick this tree, maybe nobody will. Call me a hero if you want.
All trees need some love.
That's true. So I took that tree. That was my tree, in and out. Didn't take long. And that was it. And I don't want to hear shit, by the way, from the environmental people saying fake trees are better for the environment. I'm aware of your stance. I don't know if I agree with it. But like, apparently tree farms are bad. And let me just say, if you're going to take that stance, you're... fake plastic ass tree better be made of like recycled plastics if you're talking that shit to me. I'm in an electric vehicle only family, okay? I recycle my ass off constantly so that you can have your fake plastic environmentally friendly tree. So I don't want to be shamed for my tree stance. Anyway, I got the tree up, put the lights on, which is always hell. That's the worst part in the process, Cade.
Oh, absolutely.
It sucks. Just a terrible activity. And they're always fucking... You got to test the lights before you put them on. You got to get them. Every year when I take the lights off the tree, I remember going, fuck future Ross. And I let them get knotted up. I don't do it very organized. And then when I take them back out of the attic the next year, I go, fuck past Ross. And we're just in this constant battle. But got the lights up. And then I put the ornaments up with my stepdaughter. She had a blast like being involved, although we did lose a couple.
Well, they broke.
Well, she was responsible for grabbing them out of the box and then handing them to me, and just some didn't make it. You know, some soldiers get left behind.
Are you going with like the basic ornaments, just like, you know, the round?
No, I have an insane amount of ornaments that I've collected through 36 years of life, like all kinds of random shit. Like I've got like three or four different Astros championship ornaments at this point. I've got like. I've got ornaments that are so old. One of them is from the preschool I went to, dude. Like,
I still have a couple of those.
That's one of the ones that broke this year. I had to super glue it back. Yeah, but like I've got one for Texas State University where I went to college. I've got funny ones. I've got like a bunch of different Santa ones. And then I have all the basic generic fucking bulbs, you know, that you just put around.
Yeah, ours are all pretty personal. I don't think we have any just like, no, just basic.
Yeah, when
bulbs.
People have a tree that's just the basic ones, like no personal ornaments, that's a red flag.
Yeah, you gotta have some personality in it.
Come on.
Yeah.
What is this? A competition? Is Martha Stewart coming by to judge your fucking tree? Put some shit up there that's meaningful to you. So got it all done. Tree looks great. And now the baby spends all of his time trying to rip the ornaments off and the branches off and knock over the tree. And it's... Didn't really consider that part before. And I'll say this. That... It's the first time in a while that I've thought maybe a fake tree would be just fine. Because the kid is trying, the 10-month-old now, RJ, is trying to pull the fucking tree over all the time. For the first 2 weeks of having the tree, he spent crawling directly at the tree as fast as he could and me having to chase him and pick him up so that he wouldn't destroy everything. But the tree is there. It's solid. I also put up the indoor decorations that I got out of the attic, so it's like very festive around the house, a bunch of Santas and shit. I got lights up around the front door, outside, and the garage doors, some of which already broke. Like one of the two garages is lit and the other one is not, because I didn't realize there are indoor lights and outdoor lights, and there's a difference. Apparently, the indoor lights aren't meant to be used outdoors.
Makes sense, yeah.
They can't battle the elements. So I got to fix that because it looks sad. But I thought, like, all right, I've done enough. This is solid. And then my mother-in-law this weekend came over, and she dropped off enough lights for Clark Griswold to use on his roof. Like, now I feel obligated to use them, so this weekend I will probably die falling off my roof. This could very well be the last episode we ever do.
So you're going to, like, go up there and just, like, cover every inch of that roof with lights?
Hell no. I'm not going on the roof. Not really. But I do need to figure out what I'm going to do with these lights, like wrap a tree in the backyard or something. Because, I mean, there's an ungodly amount. And she brought the colored ones, too. Okay. And I don't like all the multicolored red and green and, like, that
oh,
shit.
Oh, really? So nah. You just have the white lights?
Just white lights. Just racist as hell with the lights.
See, I kind of like the multicolored ones more. We do both in my house, but...
You like a little flavor?
Yeah. I don't know why it just seems too basic.
I'm not hating. I just... Yeah. I like it clean, you know?
Yeah. I think for, like, the trees and stuff, I think that looks better with the multicolored lights and then, like, on the house, just the white lights.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we do at our house.
Do y'all's blink? Like,
no,
the tree lights?
No.
We've got one that's got, like, this button on it. Mm-hmm. One of the strands of lights. And I appreciate, like, the idea of being able to click the button and now the lights are blinking. Click it again. Now they're blinking faster. But this one has, like, 26 different options. You can keep clicking. More different shit will happen. Now each light lights up individually. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now it's, like, fucking scattered. Like, there's so many options that to get back to just the straight-up light takes 26 clicks. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, like, those people that... Have you ever seen the houses that will, like, synchronize music with their lights?
That's tight.
That's probably what they're using for that. Yeah, that's very tight, but also so much work. I could never do that. I don't know how you do that. It looks super cool, but, like, it's just... That's not worth the time and effort.
Dude, those people are... there are some people that go so hard with the Christmas decorations that I literally don't understand how they're storing all of this stuff the rest of the year. Like, they must have a storage unit that they rent just for Christmas decorations, because it is insane. The people that'll have, like, Santa on the sleigh with the reindeer, like a bunch of elves, a fucking tree stand, you know, not like a real Christmas tree, but like a Christmas tree that's like a wood cutout or whatever, that they stick out there in the front yard. Like, some people go very, very hard, and it blows my mind.
My parents go kind of hard for Christmas. We got a bunch of boxes in the basement that we always pull up.
Oh, in the basement, dude.
Yeah.
It's a different life, basement life.
Yeah, absolutely. But we got a few things that we like to put up. We lost Snoopy. My mom loves Snoopy.
Shit. Christmas Snoopy?
Yeah, so...
I'm down with that.
We have a bunch of, like, I don't know, figurines of, like, those characters and
like
stuff.
Like Charlie Brown and...
Yeah, the whole gang.
The squad.
Yeah. We also have, like, 10 nativity scenes just, like, scattered throughout the house.
Oh, hell yeah.
I feel like that's way too many. I feel like one or two is cool, but, like, we have so many different variations of it. We also have, like, a Snoopy one as well.
Snoopy nativity?
Yeah.
Sick.
So they're just
respect all
throughout the house. A lot of Santa stuff. We have a couple, like, stand-ups. We have a portrait of him, like, above the couch.
Wow.
Yeah. Just...
Like how people put Jesus up in the living room, except it's Santa?
Yeah, it's just the big guy up there, yeah. And then a lot of blow-ups outside as well. We got, like, Santa, some elves, and Snoopy, and yeah.
The blow-ups are another level. My next-door neighbor went really hard for Halloween and put up, like, I'm not exaggerating, like a 15-foot-tall skeleton as one of the things. And I guess they just decided, like, they took down everything else. They had a big spider web that they put on the trees or whatever with, like, a giant spider stuck in it, too. They took down all the other Halloween decorations, but they left the Victor Wembanyama-sized skeleton. And then they just stuck a candy cane in each hand, a giant candy cane. So, and then they did the rest of their normal front yard Christmas decorations, like some blow-up shit. But just in the middle of it, there's a gigantic skeleton.
I kind of love that. They got to go Jack Skellington with it.
But I'm just trying to figure out the logic. Like, what happened? Like, why did they decide, like, you know what? No, let's leave the giant,
I just think they super don't want to take it down. They just want to leave it out there. They put like a Santa hat on it, or just,
no? That's they could have gone further and made it make sense.
Yeah.
Santa hat, Jack Skellington head, or something like that. But like, this is just a literally 15 foot tall, taller than, like a few feet taller than a basketball goal skeleton. Huge.
Maybe they're just gonna leave it up there like all year round and just like decorate for different holidays.
It's a bold move,
yeah.
Cotton. We'll see how it plays off pays off for him. But like, yeah, I'm a little tripped out at the moment by my next door neighbor. They also do the thing where there's like a light show on their house. Have you seen people that do this?
It's just like
it's a projector of some kind.
And they just like put like
there's just
lights on the house. Yeah.
Snowflakes rotating on the side of the house or whatever.
That's lazy.
I'm not a fan of it, especially because it like reflects into my bedroom window. Somehow, I don't like it. I want it to stop. Yeah, I may go at it with a baseball bat.
Yeah, just unplug it one night, or just like, I don't know, like mess with the cords. So
something's got to be done.
Yeah. Did you ever decorate in college? Like, would you put up a Christmas tree or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we did. We did the frat house. We would usually, I mean, keeping in mind that the motivation was that we would throw a big Christmas party or whatever, but we would wallpaper like...
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. We would put wrapping paper up, like Christmas wrapping paper, across all the walls, all over the house.
Love that. That's great.
It was actually pretty tight.
Yeah. We would decorate the frat house, but like my senior year, we had a house off campus, and we like had the Christmas tree, and we like put up like beer cans and like other like alcohol bottles, like just in the Christmas tree with
fucking
the lights
drunks
and stuff. Yeah, just the most college ass Christmas tree ever. And then we left it up.
I vaguely remember doing the beer can ornaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we left it up for the entire rest of the year. We just like didn't want to take it down.
See how
it just looks so good. Yeah, it looks so good up there.
Dude, we had a tree at Bolin Media last year. I don't know if you remember.
I do, yeah.
But after like it was my wife's old fake tree. Like when we got married, I was like, this thing is out. We're going new tree. We're a real tree family here. And so I took it to the Bolin Media House and I put it up in the corner. And part of the pain of the ass of this thing is it had fake snow on it. And whenever you would get it out the bag and then drag it to the spot you were going to put it, it just left a trail of this disgusting fake snow everywhere. So last year when it was all said and done, I was like, when I was taking it down, I was like, this thing has got to be retired. But I didn't really know how to dispose of it. It's pretty big, comes into three pieces when you take it apart. So I just threw it on the side of the house, like over by the trash cans, and it sat there until like 3 weeks ago when you and me dragged it out to the front lawn for big trash pickup day, and it was gnarly, dude. There had to have been some serious critters living inside.
Oh, for sure,
yeah,
that was outside for a minute.
For a straight up almost full calendar year in the rain and shit, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, in the attic here at Bolin Media, there are some more decorations.
There's an attic here?
Yeah,
oh, wait, that's where Jared is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we're keeping Jared.
That's where he's tied up to in his GIMP costume. GIMP Jared.
But yeah, I love the Christmas decorations, but I hate putting them up. Like, it's too much. I always have to help my dad with the lights.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, I don't want to be out here. I have to hold the ladder
and
stuff.
Don't be a pussy, Cade. Come on. Get in the fucking spirit of things. Jesus Christ. You wear a Buddy the Elf costume year round. You can't handle putting up some lights?
No, I don't like putting up the lights. I'd rather just like pay someone to do it for me.
The lights suck. And I mean, frankly, I've gone that route. One year, I paid to have the outside lights done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not expensive. Frankly, it was a pretty simple setup that we chose or whatever. But I want to say it was like $150. And if I'm choosing between like a few hours of hard light labor and the possibility that I'll get it all up and then it won't work like Clark Griswold, or paying $150, I'm paying $150 most of the time. But now I'm the age where it's like a sense of ownership. Like, I need to do this so that my kids know I can do it. And,
yeah.
then when they look back at pictures of this shit, I'll be able to say, like, I did that.
But they don't know right now. They're too young. You could just say, like, yeah, I used to.
No, they don't
it.
Care at all.
Yeah.
They don't have any idea. Definitely
so
not.
So you could lie to them.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, no, and it's a bad precedent. I don't want to be tainting our memories with lies, you know?
That's fair.
So anyway, That's where I'm at. I love Christmas and the decorations and the tree and all the shit that comes with it. Even the, like, dude, people that go too hard for Halloween with the decorations, it kind of annoys me. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is gaudy and tacky and just why do you have that giant inflatable zombie baby? For that one neighbor of mine does that. But for Christmas, I don't really care. I like the people that go crazy with it, like all of the way crazy with it, where I'm like literally in awe of how much shit you have in your yard. Cause I like driving around like the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and shit,
it looks nice. Yeah.
And looking at all the lights. Like last year we took the 4-year-old in the car and drove her around at the end of the night on Christmas Eve to like look at all the lights and shit. And she fucking loved it. Every time she saw a Grinch, she lost her mind. Grinch. She loves the Grinch. Loves the Grinch. Makes no sense to me. The Grinch is a thief, you know?
Yeah.
She always tells me he starts off as a bad guy, but then he becomes a good guy.
Yeah, his heart grows 3 sizes. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's possible. It can be done. I used to be a piece of shit. So did the Grinch.
But people can change. Have you been to the Trail of Lights?
Dude, we went this weekend, yeah.
Oh, really? How was that?
Oh, yeah. It's a fucking nightmare with kids. It's awful.
I bet, yeah.
My legs still hurt and my feet from walking. It was a lot of yelling and nobody cooperating for pictures. And I'll say this, though. The kids did all right. It's not that they did that bad. I'm just saying it's pretty exhausting. Going out there without kids later at night, having a few drinks or whatever, mm-hmm. walking around, looking at the shit, not being in a hurry because you don't have kids in a bedtime, that's a more preferable experience, I would say. But so we did the line for Santa, right?
Okay, yeah.
And they got Santa and Mrs. Claus and her big fat ass. and she's just, you know, just sitting there with that donk next to him. But that's not the point. The point is we waited in line. We get both kids up there. The 4-year-old, she does great. She's totally cool with Santa now. Doesn't really ask too many questions, which comes a little bit later when they're a little older. Then it's like, wait, why is there... This Santa is different than the other Santa we saw. There's one in the mall, and there's one in the neighborhood, and there's one at the Trail of Lights. Like, who are all these Santas? And you have to answer specific questions. It gets complicated. But RJ, the 10-month-old, my son, is not... He doesn't know what the fuck is happening.
Right.
So, like, we did a Santa last weekend in my neighbor... The weekend before last in my neighborhood, where there was, like, a neighborhood Christmas deal by the neighborhood pool, and they had a Santa Claus, and I handed him to Santa... And I've never seen him do this before. He just put both hands up like, as if to ask, like, what is happening? And he just stuck like that, like, looked at the guy, like, who the fuck is this? And Santa goes, you better get the picture quick. and then he didn't cry, but he was, like, visibly upset. Like, get me the fuck off of this old creepy red dude who's got a giant white beard. And the Santa at Trail of Lights... similar thing happened. He did start crying at that, but we got a good picture. And then we were waiting in line for, like, after you get your picture taken, you have to put, like, your email into their iPad. And the iPad was going slow, so we had to stand there for a minute. And while we were standing there, this family got up. It was their turn with Santa. And the mom and dad looked like, I don't know how else to put this. They just look like rich white assholes. Like, some people you can just tell, but based on the way they were dressed and the way the kids were dressed, they look like they were from Dallas, like one of the nice suburbs of Dallas. That was my judgment of these people. And I mean full offense when I say that, Dallas folks. And one of the kids, that was probably a 5-year-old girl, she did not want anything to do with this. She was freaked out. She was fucking scared of Santa. So she's screaming, like, and I mean scream, like, no, no. There's just 100 people in line, man. Everybody's looking at him. And so the mom, who was just a bitch, I don't know, she was fucking terrible bitch. Like, she's forcing her up there. So there's like 3 or 4 kids in this family, and she's forcing the one up there who's just like so freaked out. She's screaming, please, mommy, no. And then when they barely get the picture, it's probably terrible. And then when they're walking away, there's like Santa's toy shop is next to this setup, so you can like walk through it. And she goes, mommy, can we go to Santa's toy shop? Because she's calmed down now that she's not having to be forced into this weird photo. And her mommy goes, no, we can't fucking go to Santa's toy shop. Dropped an F-bomb on a five-year-old in public, bro. I was just like, what are you doing? If you don't want to do this, don't. I don't understand these parents. They take their kids to shit like this, and then they think, oh, everything's going to go perfectly. It's going to be a fucking wonderful time. That's not how anything works with kids, ever. And if you're like that, just stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home, psycho lady. Jesus Christ. Anyway, it blew my mind. I was like, who yells the fucking F word at a child? And then, like, the grandma was there waiting, and she goes, what happened? And the little girl goes, I was scared. It's perfectly reasonable to be scared of a fucking strange man in a giant red suit with a fucking beard your parents are handing you off to.
Yeah, that is like a thing, like as a kid, like growing up and seeing Santa and stuff. Like I did it too when I was really young.
Yeah.
Like I would always cry when I was like sitting on Santa's lap. No idea why.
Because you don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
It's scary. I get it.
But yeah, no, had some not great pictures with Santa as a
everybody
a
young does.
Lad.
That's, I mean, that's part of the tradition, like the experience, right? Like you see later in life, like the pictures of you crying with Santa are funny. But and I get it. You want to get the pictures. I don't get the getting so angry with your kid that you're throwing an F-bomb at him after the fact. So anyway, that was funny.
That's a good.
So to answer your question, yeah, we went to Trail of Lights.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's like the light situation? Like, what they got a lot of stuff there.
I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Setup, yeah.
And they've got good food.
Okay.
Hot chocolate, like a bunch of different food trucks and shit. I got some crazy ass. I'll say this: my stomach is still recovering. I got a giant, chili cheese like hot dog.
That'll do it.
And
yeah.
Then what they on the sign it said on the menu it said ranch fries. And I was like, yes, please. I love the idea of those two things together. Have that often. Well, this was basically a pool of ranch that fries were drowning in. And so I ate all that, and then I spent the rest of the time trying not to shit myself. It was good, but not what I typically eat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Sounds fun.
Anyway, you should make your way out there.
I was thinking about it. They have like a free week this week.
Oh,
so
yeah?
So you can just like pull up and check out some lights.
Yeah. If you wear that costume, bro, it's be prepared to be assaulted the entire time.
Know.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Maybe not.
Especially based on your recent lack of Christmas spirit.
Yeah, I was having a rough couple of weeks. So I wasn't really in the holly jolly spirit, but I don't know if I'll wear it this weekend. Maybe one day, one night. But I think I need it.
It's your duty, dude. This is who you are. Like you did this to you.
I did do this to myself, yeah. No, I made the cake and I have to eat it too.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's see if we can get you a little bit more in the holiday spirit.
Okay.
I think I have done at least 5 segments over the years talking about my favorite Christmas movies, and they're all pretty much the same. Sometimes one or two slots change or whatever, but everybody knows my personal number one is The Muppet Christmas Carol, and I try to last as long as I can, not sexually. Like, I try to make it as close to Christmas as possible before watching The Muppet Christmas Carol. So I've just been listening to the soundtrack to mentally prepare myself. But even the soundtrack makes me cry. Like, I'm so fucking soft now. Not sexually, but it's disgusting. Like, with kids, I was always an emotional person. And now with children, it adds an element of emotion to everything. So like going to Trail of Lights with kids when I've been out there a few times by myself, it's a different deal and like makes you reflect on shit. Anyway, we've never talked about your favorite Christmas movies, Cade. So today you will present them to me and I will judge them and tell you when you are right and when you are wrong. Here's Cade's favorite Christmas movies.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So the Santa Claus used to occupy my 5th spot.
Your number 5 slot?
Yeah, but since Tim Allen is a rat bastard and a bitch now.
And a bitch, yeah.
That movie has to go just based off principle.
I think, I'll say this. I still watch the Santa Claus 1, remember?
Okay?
Because it's, I don't think you have to remove, like, it's kind of like how I'll still wear Yeezys even though Kanye is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that you can let the artist ruin the art. If it's something you enjoy, that's okay.
That's fair. Like, I'll still watch it. Like, I like it, but, like,
but you
it
don't
just can't
put
be
in
my
top
5. Yeah.
Okay.
Then I also thought about putting in 4 Christmases. Have you ever seen that one with Vince Vaughn and, I believe, Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, sneaky, solid movie.
Yeah, watched it for the first time last year. that was pretty funny. But again, just haven't seen enough to
To put make it in my top five. Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene where him and John Favreau is like his UFC loving brother or whatever.
Yeah.
That shit was great. That's great.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
So, and I also watched Muppet Christmas Carol for the first time last year.
Wow.
That was solid.
Changed your whole life, huh?
I wouldn't say that.
Changed your whole perspective on shit, didn't it, Cade?
Nah, not quite. Whatever. But I think I need to watch that one a little stoned. I watched that one sober and didn't quite hit it.
Yeah, it's probably a little weird.
Yeah.
If you're watching it for the first time, just stone cold sober, it's probably very weird.
Yeah,
in
fact. So I might have to pull that one up again.
Michael Caine.
But to start off with number five, I am very curious to see your reaction on this one
because
it's a weird one. My list is pretty basic, I would say, but number five might be a standout.
What is it?
It's Friday After Next.
With Ice Cube. The trilogy to Friday?
Yeah.
The third one?
Yeah.
There's Friday, then there's Next Friday, and then there's Friday After Next.
Which is the Christmas movie one.
And you're counting... Is it a Christmas movie?
It is 100% a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Because they have a Santa that steals all their stuff.
Oh,
shit. They have a Christmas party.
I saw this movie.
Yeah. Sneaky, funny movie. Very underrated and underappreciated. And
wow.
I'm trying to show it some more love.
This is a ridiculous cast list. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's absurd.
Fucking A. But it doesn't have Chris Tucker, right?
No, it has Mike Epps.
Yeah, okay.
Who's still really solid in this one.
If you had to replace Chris, then, you know, Mike Epps wasn't a bad pick.
No, not at all. So, yeah, that's my number five.
Jesus, I hope things get better from here.
Oh, No, it's all classics from here on out.
Okay.
Number four, we got The Grinch.
Which one?
With Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
I can't put How the Grinch Stole Christmas, because that's only like 30 minutes. That's not
the
like
OG?
That's not like a real...
Dude, it is really short.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Really short movie. The 1950s one or whatever.
I like it.
No, it's great. It's just...
The Jim Carrey one is, much better in my opinion.
It is. It's a great film.
Mm-hmm. Number three, we have Home Alone 3.
Three?
No, I'm just playing. It's Home Alone.
Dude, I was about to fucking shut it down, man. Come on.
No, we got Home Alone and Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I put those two together.
That's one slot.
Yeah. So, no, those two are the best. And
third one was dog shit. That kid sucked.
What about four?
Who the fuck was that kid? They just brought in some... I remember as a child... when Home Alone 3 came out, being like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, what happened?
Where's Kevin?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is this kid?
Now they got like six of them.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
That's not, nah, yeah.
Yeah,
they
you just watch the first two and then that's about it.
That's it. Hollywood has got to stop ruining our sacred institutions with their fucking incessant remakes.
What else?
So that's three?
That's three. Number two, Christmas Vacation.
Great
Another
movie.
Classic.
So many great lines from that one.
And then at number one, I'm sure you can guess it. It is Christmas with the Cranks.
It's Elf, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Elf.
Yeah,
yeah. If you couldn't tell.
Okay. What other movie? What do y'all watch like as a family? The Orises. What do y'all watch?
We don't really like get together and watch Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I mean, like we might do Elf, but like every Christmas Eve, I will. Probably watch all these movies.
All of them?
Yeah, just in one day.
In succession, just one after the other?
Yeah, because I stay up pretty late on Christmas Eve. I just like can't fall asleep. You know, I'm just so excited.
Just the excitement.
Yeah, to see what Santa brought me.
See Santa!
So I stay up pretty late and just like crush Christmas movies.
Nice.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. I don't stay up really late anymore, but I used to.
Yeah.
I used to. Oh, I used to. But I watch them pretty much the whole of December, man. The second, I hold on until after Thanksgiving. The second Thanksgiving is passed, so into November, I'll start letting them creep in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throwing out, you know, like one of the classics, like a Home Alone or a Christmas Vacation or whatever. And then I work my way through, and I try to get through as many as I can before I'm rewatching. But I will definitely rewatch. Like,
yeah.
I've already watched Christmas Vacation. I'm going to watch it again before Christmas. But there's like... I want to say a solid 10 at this point. 10 movies that I try to get through every year. Bad Santa is up there for me.
See, I've never seen that one.
Dude, it's...
I know, like, it kind of seems like it'd be up my alley.
It's very funny.
Yeah. But I haven't really given it the chance yet.
Like, it's a truly, truly funny movie,
yeah.
Christmas aside.
A Christmas Story is another one that's like always on, you know, like every Christmas they have it for 24 hours. Never seen the full thing, or I've seen the full thing,
like
but
in
never
one
like
sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I have no idea how it ends, really.
I think that's the case with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. A Christmas Story is only good if you grew up watching it. Otherwise, like if you just watched it front to back right now, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it would do that much for you.
Right. And then I just recently rewatched the Harry Potter movies. Those kind of feel a little Christmas to me.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
We talked about this on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think the first like four count. I think they count as holiday films.
Yeah. Yeah, because the next three, they get a little too dark. They still like mention Christmas, but it's not like...
Those don't count. They're too heavy.
Yeah.
Different vibes in those movies.
But yeah, definitely around the holiday season, I'll bust that out as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really it for my Christmas movies. I don't do Nightmare Before Christmas. I did that for Halloween this year. But
have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No, that's a really old one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's old as hell.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I would really
vibe
with that one. I'm sure it is.
It's great. It's a classic.
Isn't that the one where she's like, every time a bell rings, an angel gets their wings?
That's
it. Okay, that's it.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, I don't. That's my list, though. That's
hey,
what
it was
I'm
all
right.
I'm still trying to process Friday After Next being in there. That's that's astonishing. On the Wikipedia, it says Friday After Next is a 2002 American stoner comedy film.
Does it mention Christmas?
Stoner comedy film. That's what it describes it as.
But the movie poster has like.
Oh, it's definitely a Christmas theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it says it's the third installment in the Friday trilogy. It tells the story of Craig and his cousin Day-Day getting jobs as security guards at a shopping center when a robber dressed as Santa Claus breaks into their apartment and steals their presents and the rent money that is to be given to their landlady. And, it says the film was theatrically released on November 22nd, 2002 to generally negative reviews. Damn, dude.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. It's a good, bad movie.
I know it's bad.
Yeah.
But I could see how you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Stoner. That was Cade's Christmas list. Today's episode is brought to you by Talkspace. I've been in therapy for a lot of years now and can't more highly recommend it, but I understand it can be daunting getting started in therapy. But getting started is way less daunting with today's sponsor, Talkspace. They make connecting with a licensed therapist easy, so you can stop setting aside your own mental well-being. Do you think seeing a therapist or psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or afford them? Try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable at Talkspace.com. You sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and more. As a listener of the Ross Bolin podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/RBP to match with a licensed therapist today. Go to Talkspace.com/RBP to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/RBP. So the sports world has spent the last several weeks waiting to see where Japanese phenom Shohei Ohtani would sign, formerly of the Los Angeles Angels, who never do anything. Shohei is perhaps the most valuable professional baseball player in history because, if you're not a baseball person, he is one of the best pitchers in the sport when healthy and also among the best hitters in the sport, which is not a thing. Not anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, like Babe Ruth was a pitcher and also hit, but like...
Was he really?
Yeah, but that was a really fucking
that
long
like
time
ago.
That was
like in the 1920s.
Yeah, people either pitch and suck at hitting, or they hit and they don't pitch.
So there hasn't been anyone in your lifetime that you've seen like come close to this?
Oh, no, not even close. No, this is not a thing. He's a freak. It's a literal freak show. Like, he mashes. He didn't play the whole season. I think he hit like 42 home runs last year. And before he hurt his arm, he was pitching phenomenally well also. Like, runaway MVP I mean, he's an unbelievable talent. Like, no doubt.
He hasn't been in the league all that long either, has he?
No, a handful of years, three years maybe, 5 years maybe. Yeah. But the Angels have never made the playoffs, even though they've had him and Mike Trout, who are both, like, either one could be argued to be, like, the best baseball player ever. Ever. And they still couldn't make the playoffs because the Angels are sad. But that's just not how baseball works. You can't have, like, one guy and have that dude, like, carry your team. It's not like the NBA, where that can sometimes happen.
Right.
But anyway, he ended up leaving the lowly Los Angeles Angels and signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers for $700 million. Because it's crazy. Before he hurt his arm, people were speculating that he might get the first billion-dollar sports contract, Shohei Ohtani. But $700 million is still the largest contract in North American sports history. So it's a pretty mind-boggling number. Like, to put that in perspective, the Houston Astros were bought, like, the whole team, like, the franchise, in 2011 for $680 million. That's $20 million less than the Dodgers just paid for one player. And that's what Astros owner Jim Crane paid for the entire franchise just 12 years ago, $680 million. Mind-blowing that now one dude, Shohei Ohtani, is getting $700 million. LeBron James has made just under $480 million in his entire NBA playing career. And he's been at it for over 20 years now. Now he has off-the-court earnings as well.
Yeah, now he's over that billion-dollar mark, I believe. Yeah, yeah.
At least from a, you know, branding and all the different shit that he owns. He definitely, I believe, officially became a billion-dollar athlete, right? Wasn't that like last year, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
But $480 million in NBA earnings, so that's his whole career. Aaron Rodgers has the highest career earnings in NFL history, $342.5 million, to put that in perspective. So like Ohtani has $700 million for the next 10 years, not counting what he's already made. Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Also, it just goes to show you how screwed these NFL guys are getting.
Yeah, again, paid the least and the most likely to get CTE, not what you want.
And the highest grossing league, too. Like the NFL brings in way, way more ratings. That, like, I think this past World Series with the Rangers winning was the least watched World Series in history. And, like, the fucking Cowboys-Eagles does more numbers than that World Series did. So the NFL has the money. They just don't give it to these guys.
No. Yeah, why would you give it to the players that
it is
putting their lives on the line?
It is. And yeah, it's the most violent sport by far. Most the CTE, like you said, the one where you're most likely to get injured. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So are you going to raise your kid to like only focus on baseball now so he can get that $700 million contract? Or...
No, I mean, that's ridiculous. I did see a lot of that sentiment. Like, I took my kid out in the front yard with a baseball bat the second I saw this. It's like, good fucking luck, buddy. Like, it's like finding a unicorn, dude, to be a Shohei Ohtani.
I think baseball is like, well, yeah, even that, but like, just to get to the major league.
Oh, so hard.
It's very difficult.
So fucking hard, dude. Like, put it in these terms. The guy I knew in middle school and high school who was the best athlete I had ever met, this dude crushed every sport. He was amazing. He was a great quarterback, great basketball player, beat the shit out of everybody. We never like came up against a team that had an individual player that was better than this dude in any of the sports I played. He went on to get drafted into the minors. He played for a few years, and then he was out. That was it. I never met a better athlete, and he couldn't even like get to the all the way MLB level. Like, it's impossible. It's like, it's comparable to golf in my mind, where like everybody plays golf, like everybody grows up playing baseball, and then there's like all these dudes who are like, I think I could make it to Q school. I think I could get my tour card. It's like, no, the fuck you couldn't. You have any idea how hard it is to become a professional golfer? It's the same kind of thing with baseball to me, where it's like, you have to be incredibly, incredibly, like, genetically talented on top of having a work ethic that makes everything else inconsequential, like where that's the only thing that matters to you.
Yeah, you kind of have that Kobe mindset.
You have to. And it's, yeah, so no, I'm not going to, not yet anyway, you know, maybe next year.
Yeah.
We'll get him in the front yard and start training to try to get that MLB contract.
There you go. I also saw something with this contract that was weird. it said that he's only going to get paid $2 million a year, and they were going to defer the $68
million. $680 million. Yeah. They're deferring $680 of the $700 million until his contract is over. So it's a complicated thing that pissed off a lot of baseball fans when they saw this. Because it's like, well, why doesn't everybody do that? Well, first of all, he had to decide to do it. It was his idea. He's trying to give the Dodgers as much flexibility as possible to build a good team around him, because he wants to win a championship and not just, like, because like we just said, they had Shohei and Mike Trout on the Angels. It didn't do shit. You need a complete team. You got to have good players in every position. You got to have a lineup, a batting lineup that's strong through and through. And he's trying to put the Dodgers in a position to do that. The thing is, there's still, like, the cap hit for the Dodgers each season is not going to be the $2 million that he gets paid. It's going to be, like, $40 million or whatever. So I'm not sure how it works, like, what all the details are around this arrangement. But, yes, technically, he will be paid, actually paid, $2 million a year for the next 10 years, which is less than Ken Griffey Jr. will be paid next year.
He's still getting paid?
And Bobby Bonilla is getting paid slightly less than $2
million. So is it going to be like one of those situations like after the 10 years where he's just going to be owed $608 million like
yeah,
over
the thing about
long?
It, like, dude, it's such a long time to just know like you're not going to die. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody was like, we can give you $2 million now, and if you take the $2 million a year now, we'll give you $680 later, I'd be like, fuck you. How do I know I'm going to be alive in 10 years or 20 years? Like, there's no way. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. I want that shit now. But he makes so much money in endorsements and is going to make so much more in endorsements on the Dodgers that it's like, it just doesn't matter. And we're still kind of waiting to see how this shakes out in terms of like what it means for Major League Baseball. Like, are the owners all going to be okay with the way this deferment thing works? Is anybody else going to sign a deal? Like, because like the Astros, for instance, we've got a couple of guys, Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, coming up for free agency. I would love if one of them would fucking do this.
Yeah, is this like the first time someone's ever
Deferments happen, but it's the first time anybody's deferred that amount of money
okay,
or
yeah.
anywhere close to it. But that is why, like, Ken Griffey Jr. still gets paid. Bobby Bonilla still gets paid. Allen Iverson had deferment in his contract. It was like he would make, I can't remember what it was, but it was to keep him from spending all of his money up front so that he would still get paid X amount a year or whatever.
It is a good idea if you, like, want to keep that income, like, after your professional career is over. So I do see the benefit.
Yeah, he
that.
Definitely doesn't need the money. It's just interesting. It's also like there's inflation, you know? So $680 million now versus $680 million 10 years from now, like, who knows what the difference, like, is he shaving off $50 million just in inflation? Like, who the fuck knows? But it's complicated. It's crazy. I do not really know all of the ins and outs, and I couldn't really find an article that adequately explained this yesterday when I was looking into it. It was like, what? Seems like a huge loophole to exploit. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It is a mind-blowing amount of money, though. Hopefully this dude can stay healthy because it will be really fun to watch. But on the other hand, fuck the Dodgers.
Well, they'll probably choke anyway.
They do every year in the playoffs. Yeah. Every year. Some other big news that came out yesterday. Google dropped their most Googled, you know, they do, like, here's the most Googled things of 2023. And it turns out Google's most searched actor of 2023 was Jeremy Renner. And I was like, huh, he must have done like some Marvel movies that I wasn't aware of or something. But no. It's because he got crushed by a snowplow on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2023, which is, again, like, it's funny, even though it shouldn't be, because had he gotten crushed by a snowplow like on December 31st of 2022, I wonder if he still would have had the same, like, if he still would have gotten number one. Because I feel like everybody was Google searching Jeremy Renner when we found out, like, that he almost died because of a snowplow. So, and then there was a strike that shut down Hollywood all year, so people just spent 2023 Googling Jeremy Renner to see if he was still alive. And that was enough to shoot him up to number one. Jamie Foxx was number two, another guy who almost died.
Yep.
And then number three was Danny Masterson. So it was a really bad year. Maybe the worst year on record to be an actor on the most Googled list.
And Danny Masterson is...
He was the actor from That 70s Show that was accused of, and I believe actually convicted of, sex crimes. The R word. Yeah. I'm not trying to bring the Christmas vibes down by saying it, but
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's not very nice of him. He's probably ended up on the naughty list for that one.
He is definitely on the naughty list. Yeah. Jeremy Renner, Jamie Foxx, Danny Masterson. But yeah, there's clearly never been a better time to relaunch the Jeremy Renner app so that I can use all these Ren stars I've got saved up. Speaking of which, when I was Googling Jeremy Renner to fit in with everyone else, guess what has its own Wikipedia page now?
What is that?
The Jeremy Renner app.
Nice, that's huge.
If you Wikipedia Jeremy Renner official, it has the whole saga of the Jeremy Renner app with several different like subheaders, like explaining what the app is, talking about the controversy. It says the app featured optional microtransactions whose numbers could reach roughly $400 despite the app itself being free. Upon shutting down the app, Renner issued a mass refund for the collectible stars in the app for purchases made within the last 90 days. From the day the announcement was posted, he then posted an apology to the app itself, and the app was deleted from both the Google Play Store and the App Store shortly thereafter. It talks about Ren's Day, how they used to celebrate Happy Ren's Day on Wednesdays. It's ridiculous. Like,
wait, so how much money did you drop on those Ren stars?
Oh, man.
Probably didn't get your
refund. Thousands
refund.
Of dollars. It was like my life savings up to that point.
And you didn't get a refund because you didn't get them. You probably had them stored up for a while, didn't you?
Nah, I wasn't buying that last 90 days, so I didn't get any money.
So you really
back.
Do need.
I need this
to
be reborn.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you can get good use out of those Ren stars.
I really need it to happen.
Is there any celebrity that if they made an app, you would download it? Because I'm trying to.
That's a good
wonder,
question.
Like why, like
it have
people
to be,
would
it have to be a sports thing?
Yeah.
You know, like if CJ Stroud made an app, yeah, I'd check it out.
God, I hope not. I hope it doesn't get to that
point. I don't
think
he's going to, but if he did, I'd check it out. I'd see what was up.
Some Stroud coins, bucks, I don't...
Yeah, back in the day when James Harden was on the Rockets, I probably would have done it. Not now.
No, absolutely.
But back in the day,
yeah.
You know, I would have done it. But anyway, RIP Jeremy Renner official.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Remember, Kate and I will be back later this week on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, where every week we drop an ad-free exclusive episode just for our Patreon subscribers who are supporting the show to make sure we can continue to exist as a show into 2024. We've got 650 people-ish on Patreon supporting the show right now, and we're thankful for every single one of them. But we need more of you to jump on the Patreon train and subscribe to gain access to hundreds of ad-free exclusive episodes from over the years that exist only on Patreon. So if you love RBP, if you enjoy what we're doing here and want to be one of the people making sure we can keep doing what we're doing, go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast now and subscribe. If you need proof of the delicious ad-free pudding that exists on Patreon, here are a couple of my favorite hotline calls and our responses. Calls from listeners included in recent episodes. Enjoy.
All right, we'll try this again. I didn't talk fast enough on the last one. I travel for work a lot. One of the cities I go to is Portland, the suburb of Portland. Usually it's pretty safe. Tonight, I flew in. The only place that's open within kind of where I usually stay, close to my office, is a B-Dubs. So walked to B-Dubs, had a wing, a few wings, had a single beer. And I was walking home. It's dark. It's, I don't know, 10 o'clock here, raining. Somebody starts following me. I immediately think, oh, shit, this is not good. He starts talking to me, wants to know what's in my backpack. I realize very quickly that I'm about to get mugged. So I've always had this dream of somebody breaking my house, and I take off all my clothes and, you know, run out there naked because nobody wants to fight a naked guy type thing. Well, in this situation, I didn't have time to do that. So the next best thing that I could think of in that moment was, I'm going to pull out my dong and I'm going to threaten to pee on him. So I do that, and I just start peeing on the sidewalk. This dude freaks out, takes off running, gives me enough time to take off running the other direction. And I'm not sure if that's the right move, but if you're about to get mugged in that situation, what do you guys do? do you do what I did? You have another idea? I don't know. Haven't really been in that situation before. New one for me. My heart's racing a million miles an hour right now. I'm safe, but I almost peed on somebody tonight. What do you think? Good gang.
What do you think, Cade?
I actually like think about like not I guess not this particular situation, but like just like situations like that where like you think you could potentially be in danger,
right?
So like being mugged or like a potential like
break-in or shooting,
anything like that. So I always had like little like plans and strategies. Like I'm like, okay, where's my nearest exit? Like who's around? Like what can I do? I've never thought about
whipping your dick out
and peeing on the
peeing.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant, given the circumstances where he was walking by himself at night. Somebody's coming from behind. He thinks he's about to be mugged. The dude starts making some kind of advances in terms of like asking what's in his backpack or whatever. Yeah, I love this strategy in that case, pulling out your dick and peeing towards that person. I don't think most of us have the ability to pee on command with adrenaline going through our bodies like that guy does.
Yeah,
that might be his like superpower.
And he only had one beer, too.
Yeah, like, that's special.
Like, if he was drunk, like, I get it. Like, oh, yeah, you always have to pee.
Yeah,
so, like,
but
that's pretty easy. Yeah.
But that's special. To be able to pee like that with fear coursing through your veins on command to prevent a mugging, that's your superpower is peeing whenever. That's amazing. Now, this reminds me of a funny story where at one point in college, one of my best friends, it's a dude I still talk to all the time, is his backpack was sitting next to me in the frat house. And I noticed he had in one of the side pockets, like a mesh side pocket, you know, mm-hmm. where you could put like a water bottle.
Right.
There was just this big ass rock.
Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? I go, bro, what? Why do you have a giant stone in the side of your bag? Is this like a workout thing? Are you like rucking? You trying to lose weight? Like, what the fuck is this? He was like, nah, man, if I'm in class and a mass shooter comes in, I'm going to fucking chunk this rock at him. And I was like, dude, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. A, you're going to miss. And B, he's going to be the first person you shoot.
My first thought was like, oh, what if he misses? Like, he's definitely going to
just immediately get capped. And he was like, okay, but this was his response. I'm not joking. His dead serious response. Okay. But what if everybody had a rock?
What?
And I was like, brother, that is the most senile fucking shit I've ever. But then I thought about it. I was like, okay, well, if let's just play hypothetical. If you're a psychopath and you bust into a classroom to shoot up and everyone stands up with a giant stone and hurls it at you, like odds are one of them is going to knock you out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of brilliant. But a solo stone thrower is the dumbest strategy I've ever heard.
He wants to be the hero. See, yeah, we don't need teachers to be armed with guns. We just need
students
to arm
with stones.
Yeah, students with stones, and that'll get the job done.
Studentswithstones.com to join the movement and give money to our cause. We're trying to give every student in the nation a stone to throw so that they'll be safe from mass shootings. Sad thing. That, like, this was 15, 16 years ago or whatever when I'm in college. This was already like a major problem, enough so that my boy was like, I've got to protect myself. And it got himself a big-ass rock for his backpack. Because, well, I should note that now I think concealed carry is actually legal in Texas on college campuses. And this dude would definitely be strapped in 2023 because he's a gun guy and has, like, a bunch of different weapons. Even in 2020, when the pandemic broke out, I was like, shit, man. Like, there was a point the first couple weeks where I was, and I think a lot of people were like, well, this could be the end.
Yeah.
Where the system breaks and like chaos in the streets and I don't have a gun. So I called up my boy and I was like, yo, can I borrow like one of your ARs or like, cause he's my gun nut friend. And he was the stone throwing guy. He was the dude who was going to class with a fucking rock in his backpack. So, I mean, self-defense is a weird is a weird thing. The risk of taking your dick out though when you're being potentially mugged is that if they have like a knife or something, now your dick is out.
Oh yeah, and they're just,
I mean, that's,
they're cutting that up real quick.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still bringing your dick to a knife fight or a gunfight potentially. Yeah. And that feels dangerous. But I do love the overall concept of retaliating against an attack by trying to overpower the other person with madness and craziness is awesome to me.
Yeah, like you'll see in fights sometimes, like again, I think you mentioned it, like just getting butt-ass naked because no one wants to fight
a naked guy, right?
So that's especially in a fight you know you're going to lose, I think that's the move.
And frankly, it's kind of tight because like even if like worst comes to worst and you get got, like the home break-in thing. Like if somebody breaks into your house and you rip all your clothes off and run at them naked and they just off you, at least after the fact, like you're a fucking legend forever. They're like, dude, did you hear about Ross? Like, oh no, what happened? It's like, well, somebody broke into his house and killed him, but they found him butt-ass naked because he tried to go at this dude nude. Like, that's a fucking great story for you forever about you, you know?
I don't know. I feel like that's a bad way to go. Like, if you're in a fight and you're butt-ass naked, but he still beats your ass, it's kind of like, oh, that's sad. Everyone saw your little dick and you got your ass beat.
That's different, though, because you're still alive after the fact.
Oh, I don't know. He might beat the shit.
If you're dead and gone and you died as you came into the world, I like that. I think that's tight. I'm not recommending it, just to be clear.
Yeah, go out how you came in.
Yeah, naked.
Yeah.
I'm also, again, not a self-defense specialist. This is not financial advice either. Just keep that in mind if you decide to do any of these things.
Do you ever think about like, oh, like I need an exit strategy just in case some shit goes off? Because I mean, think about that all the time.
No, not as much anymore, honestly. Like, it depends on the circumstances. I'm always pretty aware of my surroundings, like, as an anxious person.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got...
Well, see, that's why I do it, because I am an anxious person.
I mean, I think it's second nature to me at this point is what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I consciously sit there and I'm like, all right, there's the exit. Like, I definitely... Like, when I'm in restaurants, I watch people. Like, mm-hmm. I for sure, like, check out every table. It's not necessarily out of a fear of danger as so much as, like, I like to be super aware of my surroundings.
You're not having your back facing the door.
That part I don't care about, necessarily. It's not,
that's when someone comes up behind and clips
your
ass.
Am I, in the fucking mafia, though? Like, come on. It just... I'm also not out very much anymore, you know?
That's true.
So this is
you're
way
homebody.
Less of a problem for me now and than it used to be. But, like, I remember being more like you're describing, whereas like I was always aware of the exit, always had a strategy, like how to get out or whatever. The thing I think about more now is like what I would do if somebody broke into my house. Because there's only certain shit you're allowed to do. Like, I don't even think you're legally allowed to fire a warning shot anymore. You're dead serious.
In Texas?
I don't think you are. Like, there's certain states where
you're not. They don't have, like,
the
stand your ground. I think they have that in Indiana, where, like, if someone breaks in, you can pop them and... nothing really happens.
Maybe you can do the warning shot indoors. It says, don't go outside and fire a warning shot. Well, yeah, no fucking shit. Why the fuck would I go outside? How would that stop a trespasser? Now I'm outside. It says...
Well, at least you're safe. And then you just call police and then they'll come and take care of them.
Texas, okay. Under certain circumstances, Texas law allows for the use of force, not deadly force.
So you can't kill him.
Which feels insane to me.
Because that guy's trying to kill you, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. That's fucking crazy, bro. You're telling me somebody breaks into my house, my kids are in there, and I can't kill this motherfucker? That's crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you. That's why I don't know the answer anymore. Like, there's all these circumstances, and it's state by state, and it's like... I tell you this, if somebody breaks into my house and I kill them and then I go to prison, I'm going to be really pissed off.
Yeah, you probably won't do too well in prison.
I'll be super mad.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, I have spent enough time in jail,
I feel like,
to know how to operate in there. But I'll be angry with the idiotic nature of the law.
What up, Ross, Cade? This is Callum from Boston, first-time caller. I got a trash or not trash for you guys. My trash or not trash is if you are a guest at someone's house and you are staying in their guest room, do you make the bed when you leave? I called in because I've now had two of my friends stay over at our house in our guest room, and both of them have not made the bed when they left in the morning. I think that is just extremely trash. I was always raised that when you stay over at someone's house, you are supposed to make the bed so you save them the time and energy, unless the sheets are like fucking gross. Maybe you like came in them or something. I don't know. Anyway, but if you did that, you should definitely probably tell them, because that's disgusting. However, yeah, I'm just kind of curious on what your guys' thoughts are. I think it's trash to not make the bed. I always do it. I make a point. I tell my wife all the time. I judge all of your friends and my friends and our friends if they don't make the bed when they leave our house. So, yeah, gang, gang, gang. Peace.
Well, it was peace a question. All right, Cade, what do you do when you if you spend the night at somebody's house, next morning you're getting ready to head out, what do you do?
Well, usually I'm sleeping on the couch, but I will take the blanket that I'm using, fold it up, set it on the couch, and then put the pillow on top of it, and then just head out. Just deuces. Well, okay.
When's the last time you spent the night at somebody's house and slept in a guest room?
Honestly, never. I don't think. Like in your whole life, friends.
Yeah.
No.
No. What about an aunt or an uncle or something?
I mean, yeah, I've done that, but I don't think I'd make my bed in that case. If I'm like gonna be staying there for multiple days, I don't think I'd.
Well, we're talking about last day.
Yeah.
The day you're leaving.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do it. You're
gonna learn today. The move, regardless of who, family makes it a little different. Like, if I stay in my mom's guest room, I'm not worried about the bed the next day typically. Yeah. But even then, especially now, like, my mom's getting a little older. She's got 3 floors in her little townhouse, so it's like I'm not trying to make her go unnecessarily further up and down the stairs than she already does. The move, I don't even think, is to make the bed. Because here's the thing. You're spending the night in somebody else's guest room. The odds are they're going to wash the sheets before anybody else stays there anyway. So, and we're all, people sweat in their sleep, cum in their sleep, drool on the pillowcase. The move is to strip the bed. You strip the sheets, the fucking mattress cover thing, all of it. The pillowcases, you pile them up into a ball and you walk them to their laundry room and you put them in there. Or ask the people that are hosting you, what do you want me to do with the sheets? That's the move. Because making the bed doesn't really do anything. They're going to just have to strip the bed and take all that shit to the laundry room anyway so they can clean it. But that's the general, I think that's like the nice thing to do, is to strip the bed entirely. Because like you said, nobody knows what's in there. Nobody knows if you shit or came or pissed in your sleep or drooled. Nobody wants to have to check. Just strip the fucking bed to its, you know, down to its, to the mattress. Take it to the laundry room.
Yeah, see, I never considered that before until, like, as you're, like, into that point. I was like, oh, I should just, you know, strip the bed completely. Because they're going to wash it anyway.
You just strip it. That's the move. That's the nicest way to say thank you for letting me sleep in your home, is by stripping the bed completely.
But what if it's like a one-night thing, like at a friend's house? Are you stripping the bed or are you just going to make it?
I mean, this is like an age-appropriate question, too. It depends what age you are. If you're like, you know,
like my age or younger,
that's about when it should kick in, I think. Like around mid-20s, the rule becomes strip the bed entirely. Younger than that, nobody cares. There's no rules. You're just living like a savage still.
Hmm.
You know? But I'm just saying. As an adult, yeah, if I have somebody sleep in my guest room, my hope is that they strip the bed, because I'm going to have to do it if they don't.
But what if they're like, what if you do that as like a nice gesture? Like, oh, hey, I stripped the bed for you. You're like, yeah, we're just going to leave that there. Then what?
Then you know next time. These people are fucking gross, and I probably don't want to be sleeping in their guest room, because God knows how many other people have slept in there and spread their dirty cooties everywhere.
Yeah, their dirty feet.
Yeah. That's the nightmare. Mm-hmm. You strip they leave without stripping the bed, then you go in, you pull the comforter down, and their dirty-ass feet have just, like, scuffed up the sheets, you know? And then it's your problem. But that's my answer. You strip the thing entirely, you ball it up, you walk over to them and you say, where do you want me to put these? I didn't come in them.
But then that's going to make them think that you came in
there.
That's
the fun of it. You just
you
put it in their
head,
insert it into their mind that you may
have.
You have to know if somebody spends the night in your place, there is a chance they come. There is. There's a very good, I would argue, a very good chance they come. It's like this. If you went to a hotel and they told you, yeah, the last person just checked out, but we went ahead and just made the bed instead of giving you all new sheets and stuff, you would be like, well, fuck you. Absolutely no way in hell I'm sleeping here. Please refund my booking. Same thing with when you stay as somebody's guest. That's my take on this situation. And yeah, your friends staying over at your place or your wife's friends staying over at your place and then just fucking leaving the next day without even having made the bed, that's fucked up.
Yeah, so you're saying like make the bed, like obviously strip the bed is number one, but make it number two, and then if you just leave it there, you're just kind of...
Making it is a nice gesture too, but it's like... It's circumstantial in that, like, if you all went out the night before and, like, raged, you need to strip the bed. Don't just make the bed. That's fucking weird.
But then, like, if you do make the bed and they were going to strip it, then it's kind of nice that you didn't make it. Because then I feel like it's easier to just, you know, take all the shit off and...
Yeah. I just say strip it.
Just strip it.
Just to be safe. I mean... The other move, just ask, like, what would they prefer? Do y'all want me to make the bed or strip the bed? And sometimes they might say, oh, just leave it. It's no biggie. And once they've signed off like that, then you don't have to do shit. You can just leave.
Yeah.
But on the way out, let them know you came.
Still let them know.
Still say that. Yeah.
You splooge in their sheets.
Yeah. Just so they're aware.
Yeah.
You know, so they can throw on some gloves before they get in there and strip it themselves. All right, there's a lot more where those came from on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. So get in there and help us out. We appreciate your support, and that will do it for today's show. Please support our sponsors as well by hitting the link in the description below on this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media today. We had TalkSpace.com/RBP for $100 off your first month of therapy with TalkSpace. To check out our other shows, go to BolinMedia.com. Of course, we have Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, which I mentioned earlier on today's show, where myself and Mr. Barrett Dudley, one of my best friends of over 20 years, discuss all the best and latest in TV and in film sometimes as well. Banging the Can is my Houston sports podcast. We also have Formula Bone, where J-Bone, Jared Borslow, discusses the latest in F1. Continues all off-season long, Formula Bone. So just because the season is over does not mean Formula Bone is over. Check out Formula Bone at youtube.com/@FormulaBone with over 100,000 subscribers enjoying J-Bone's F1 content. Hit bolinmedia.com/shop to grab yourself some RBP merch if you're still doing Christmas shopping, holiday shopping for the fam. We've got all kinds of good stuff on there. Stack Good Days coffee mugs, crew neck sweaters, mouse pads, baby onesies. We've got finishing cups. We've got a puzzle. We've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got Horny for Sunsets merch. We've got all kinds of great shit on bolinmedia.com/shop. Go get yourself some RBP merch today. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Kadors. That's Kadeorris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media, and video of today's show was produced by Kadors, which you can see on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast. We'll be back soon. Hope you enjoyed the Christmas special. And yeah.
I'm sweating my jingle bells off again. It's very hot in here.
It's not a breathable costume.
No, not really.
Buddy. Well, until next time, peace be with you, and also with you. Peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.